For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to Philippians, the fourth chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 4 down to and including verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. These words are recorded. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Read for your hearing from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4 through and including verse number 7. For a subject, joy. Joy. Most, I believe, whether disciples or not, realize that this is the season of what we call joy. It is a time where it is said that joy has come. It is a time when we sing the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And today here in this worship service, we lit the candle of joy. The candle is the one glowing, the only pink candle amongst three purple. You may not know of this being a church tradition of old, but in the Catholic Church, this is special. And not only for Catholics, but it's also special for us because of joy. The candle is pink because of joy. Now, to give you a brief history in this color of pink, the color goes back to a single pink rose during the season of Lent. During the Lenten season that was traditionally marked with fasting, the early church singled out a single Sunday to feast and celebrate the coming of joy. And on that day, the Pope would give out a single pink rose to honor an outstanding citizen. The clergy even began to wear pink vestments and decorated the church in pink to mark that day of joy. Well, they have lost the seven candles of Lent, but they've gained the four candles of Advent. And amidst the four candles, you see a single pink candle, the candle of joy. But now you ask the question to the preacher, what is joy? You see, this could really be a hard question to answer. I mean, there can be so many different things that brings us joy. You see, joy for me is probably not the same thing as joy for you. See, the TV has offered hundreds of different ideas, each one guaranteed to bring joy to your life. Get a new car wrapped in a big red bow. Get that diamond necklace and earring set from Jared. Or get that shiny new PlayStation, whatever number it is this year. But then there's the joy of family, the joy of a job well done. And I could go on and on. I might ask, why on earth is that candle pink? Now, we know the historical reason, but what is the theological reason behind the pink color? See, it's not pink for the sake of cause. It's not pink because of the jewelry or the electronics, nor is it pink for family or job satisfaction. So why is it pink? Is there such a thing as church joy? You see, looking through my collection of short stories, I was able to find an example that dealt with what they called church joy. Allow me to share it with you. Story goes that a small boy in a pew in front of the congregation suddenly turns around and begins to smile with a huge grin. Looks from person to person, and smile of his stretching all the way back to those who sat in the back of the church. Now, he's not gurgling, he's not spitting, he's not humming or tearing up the hymn books or rummaging through his mother's purse. He's just smiling. Suddenly, his mother, or perhaps the father too, jerks him around, and with a whisper that everybody in church could hear, they say, "Stop grinning. You're in church." And with that, she gives him a backhand. And as the tears roll down his cheek, she or he then adds, "That's better." Now, although it may be humorous, we should fear the honesty behind the story. Church is not always thought of as a place where we can smile. This is often where people come when the going gets the toughest. And this is especially true during times of deep trouble in our lives. This is where we should find the doors open and opportunities for prayer in the wake of national crisis. This is where people often bring their biggest and heaviest burdens to lay down at the altar, and we can practically see the weight on their shoulders. How could we even possibly think of grinning when the person next to us is in the verge of tears? You see, this is where Paul was when he wrote these words. He had been stripped of everything, locked in a cold, dark, and wet prison cell, and had even been sentenced to death. And he sits down to write his friends in Philippi. He says, "I'm in prison again, and this time I'm sentenced to die. And oh, by the way, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, many don't get it. They just won't get it. You see, Paul is definitely having a rough time. And he responds by writing this letter, a letter, while it is only, it's four chapters long, manages to mention joy 10 times. 10 times. Paul is having the epitome of a bad day, and he mentions joy 10 times. Now, how can he say that? Has Paul lost his mind? I mean, wouldn't it be just plain dumb to go up to somebody who is having possibly one of the worst days of their life and say to them, rejoice in the Lord always? How on earth can he write about joy? He doesn't have anything to be joyful about. His life is on the line. He's cold. He's wet. He's tired. He has no freedom. No shiny car with a bright red ribbon waiting for him in the driveway. No limited time diamond earring and necklace sale to take advantage of. No PlayStation 3, 4, 5, or 6 to occupy his time. He's away from his family and friends and cannot take a single bit of joy from a job well done because, well, being in prison has put a small damper on his traveling ministry. Yet over and over again in his letter to the Philippians, Paul brings up joy. Somehow he's got it into his head that you don't need all that stuff to have joy. Even his earthly life being in jeopardy could not separate him from joy. You see, looking deeper into the book of Philippians, we began to see a pattern. For Paul, joy does not come from the world. The joy that he has comes from God. You see, our God is the giver of true joy. Our God is the great comforter. Our God is the giver of a peace that transcends all understanding, and it doesn't come from something that you can buy. It comes from something that's freely given. You see, Paul's greatest joy was his assurance from God the Father through his Son, Jesus the Christ. He knew that nothing could separate us from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We too should have this great joy in us, regardless of what's going on around you. Even though the fireplace may not have logs, even though the car has no gasoline, even though the house electricity is not working, there ought to be some joy still in our lives. Rejoice in the Lord always. See, candle is not pink for any earthly reason. It is pink for a heavenly reason. It is the great joy of the coming of Christ our Lord. As we journey closer and closer to the Bethlehem celebration, we are reminded of what awaits us when we get there. A Savior, one who brings us something that no one else can give, true joy. That's why Paul can write, rejoice in the Lord always, because of what he writes in verse 5, the Lord is at hand. That's why Paul can write again, I will say rejoice, because of what he writes in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's right. The church can be a place of smiling. We don't have to frown all the time, but don't let it be a phony smile. Allow it to come up from the depths of our heart, knowing what God has done for us. Let it be the real joy that can only come through God, through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Our true joy cannot be packaged and wrapped and placed under somebody's tree. It can only be found in a manger, in down in a little town called Bethlehem. And that's where it awaits you there. Not in the midst of luxury. Not when you sit behind the wheel of the latest big car. Not in the midst of a living room of a 5-bedroom house. Joy comes wherever you are, as long as you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we celebrate. That's why we lift up the idea of joy on the way, and that's through God's Son, Jesus the Christ, one born, the one that raised to be a man, the one who went to a cross on a hill called Calvary, yeah. Suffered, died, was buried, and praise God, 3 days later, got up with all power in his hand, gave each of us a right to the tree of life once again. The question comes to your life. Where's your joy?
Amen.
Only in Christ can you have real joy.
Amen.
Just because somebody went to Jared, smile may come, but that's not your joy.
Come on, right.
When you went out into the driveway, you saw that Lexus with that big red bow on top. That's not the real joy. Real joy comes when you don't even have a driveway. And there's no car parked near the building. That's real joy. And that joy is only through God's Son, Jesus the Christ. Joy. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Let us stand, please. We don't have to wait to the calendar day of December the 25th to recognize that God did send his Son in order that you and I might have the right to the tree of life once again. We can be reminded every day of the year that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Too often we wait for what man tells us, that when you should shout, when you should rejoice. But all of us have to rejoice because of what God has done for each of us. He allowed his Son to be nailed to a cross, allowed him to suffer and die. I did say die. That body did die on the cross. It was taken down and placed in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed. Guards were placed there. Controversy on whether it was a Thursday night or a Friday, but don't worry about the controversy. He died, he was buried. But our belief is early one Sunday morning, he got up from the dead, got up with all power in his hand, and gave each of us the right to the tree of life once again. I know this took place over 2,000 years ago, but that same Jesus,
hallelujah,
ascended up into heaven to be with the Father. And he said he must go away in order that the Comforter would come. Comforter is here. He's the one tugging at your heart right now, asking you to receive God's Son, Jesus the Christ. Remember, he calls you. He's calling you right now, and you ought to stop rejecting him. Receive him into your heart. Just simply believe. If thou would just confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. It also says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now some of you say, Pastor, I'm tired of hearing you say that. But I say it because there's somebody who needs to hear it. You need that opportunity. So if there's one who has yielded You've received Jesus Christ right where you stand, and you would like to publicly proclaim it. Step out in any aisle. If you need, we can come down to you and escort you down to the officers who are here. By stepping out, you're publicly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is now in my life. And my stepping out publicly proclaims that. So if you're here, this is your opportunity, your time to publicly show Jesus Christ in your life. Perhaps it's someone who has already accepted Christ. You've been baptized and you've been praying and you've asked the Lord to guide you to a place where you may be able to worship God in spirit and in truth and study God's word so that you may grow stronger. We'd love to have you to come also. You may come and be a part of this family of baptized believers. You may come on your Christian experience or by letter. So if you're here, this is your time, your opportunity to come forward also. Is there one? Is there one? If there's one, will you come? Is there one? Don't let Satan turn you around. Tomorrow, not even tonight, is promised to anyone. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Praise God. It's prayer time, Shiloh. It's time for those who know the work and the worth of prayer that you may come to the altar so that you can pray for someone else or prayer for yourself. Will you come?
Simmers our hearts for prayer. Father, you are the center of our joy. And as we come here, we ask that you hear our prayers for the needs of all that are gathered here. And not only here, Father God, but all abroad. Father, you know our many concerns, the burdens of our lives today. So we pray for those who are hurting and going through some unimaginable circumstances. For those who are suffering and hurting, Lord, we pray that you will hold them in your gracious hands. Strengthen them. Strengthen those who are sick and weak and depressed and oppressed, Lord God. Those that are weary, Father God, grant them your peace. We pray, Lord God, for our children. Strengthen them to do what they need to do each day, Lord God. Give them courage to be brave as they face challenges that's before them. Protect them, keep them, Lord God, and keep them safe in an unsafe world. And Father, above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to live every day as if the kingdom was already here. Thank you for the truth of his word, Father God, and the examples of his life. for the obedience to overcome temptation, Father God. And for dying through which he overcame death. And for his raising life again. Father, we thank you for loving us. And we ask that you help us to be true followers of Jesus Christ. Help us to live our lives like Jesus lived. Love and have compassion as Jesus did.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, give us this desire to be good news bearers, telling the story of Jesus, and also giving our own testimonies to those who have never found faith. Father, we pray for those who the snowstorm is upon them, and for those that will, the snow will catch us in because it's coming. So we pray for traveling mercies, Father God. Good common sense, Father God. And your wisdom. Father, we just honor you. We worship you. We love you. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. And as we leave this place and never from your presence, let us be mindful of those who are less fortunate than we are. Because there are so many that just wish they had the crumbs that falls from our table. Let us show love for one another. And may you bless us with peace this day. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.